Right, we're going to give this technology a go. Hopefully I don't dance around too much. That's not very likely either, by the way. I don't do dancing. I struggle to do expressive worship. I wish I was free, like some of the people here that like to get up and dance and so forth. But I'm just in the kind of category of expressive worship makes me feel like a ninny. So I struggle with that. So today we're looking at the parable of the hidden treasure and of the pearl. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 46 to 44. And that is page 980 in the church Bibles. If you've brought your own, I have absolutely no idea what page it's on. Okay, so here it is. It's a very short piece. So here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Back then, back in Jesus' day, although they had a form of bank where they could place their wealth, many people didn't trust the banks. And so the tradition was that they would bury their cask of treasure, i.e. their money and their wealth, in a box or something that would withstand the test of time. And they would dig a hole on the land that they owned, and they would bury it. The problem with that is the fact that many of the people who did that never survived long enough, never lived long enough to go back, and maybe even forgotten that they had buried it. So there in this field lay an insurmountable amount of money, just buried. And so the law also worked that if you owned the land, you owned the treasure, regardless to where it came from. So there you see in the parable a man who was working on the land, who discovered a treasure that was not his own, reburied it, then he went home and scraped all his money together to buy it. The man most certainly probably would have been a man of no standing, of no social acceptance. He could have even been somebody who society would have considered not worthy. He would have just been a worker of the field. He may have even been gleaning some crop that was left, because you remember the tradition was to leave a certain amount of crop around the field so that all who were poor could take what was remaining. So he may have even been doing that, but that's not the point. He found this treasure, but he was considered somebody who wasn't of great society. You've got to remember, back then, society was all about money and power and intellect and intelligence. And this man, and I am painting a very broad stroke picture of this man. It may not be 100% accurate, but I just want you to see why he did that. He found this treasure, and it was the answer to all his problems. Okay? So he went home, he found his friends and his wife, and they sold everything. The little bowls, the house, the clothes that they had, the tools that you would have used to work with. They scraped absolutely everything together to buy this land. And then he went to the owner of the land and he bought the whole field. He didn't want the field. He had no intention of working the field. He wanted the treasure that was within the field. The treasure for him meant life. All of a sudden, he became somebody of worth. All of a sudden, the power was on his side. In one sense, he had managed to establish his own kingdom, his own worth. All of a sudden, because he was a landowner and he had money, everybody would pay attention to him. He was all of a sudden worthy. He was all of a sudden no longer just a farm worker that people would just look down on. My message today really is quite simple. I could probably sum it up in about one line, but we'll just go with it a little bit longer. Jesus changes our path and our destiny. Just like the man who discovered the treasure, found that he could change his destiny, that all of a sudden he found that he had an identity, all of a sudden that he found that he had worth according to the world's plan. And we know that that's not where we find our identity or our worth. But it's given to tell you that example, to show you that actually the treasure that is Jesus takes something that is mere dirt and gives it worth. Takes something that doesn't have a future, that doesn't have a hope, and gives it hope, and gives it a future. That Jesus changes the path, changes the course of history. If that man had not discovered the treasure, he would today still be a farm worker. If we had not discovered Christ, we would still be heading to the gates of hell. Jesus changes our destiny. He changes our worth. He lifts us up. He gives us identity. You know that God looks at you on your worst day and considers you worthy. And he sets you free and he cleanses you from the blood of the Lamb. So we look down, and I'm losing my place. God looked down on the world and he saw all of us. And he considers us worthy. And there's a verse in Psalm 40 in verse 2, and it says this: He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. God looked at us and saw all that we had done, all that mankind had done, and still considered us worthy. The scriptures say that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came to set us free. So you remember, you go back to that Genesis thing where God took the mud and made man and breathed life into it. He took something that the world would consider not worthy and made it worthy. The world often doesn't consider humanity worthy. we look down on people. But God raised them up and said, they are worthy. So in your worst day, when you've done everything wrong and everybody hates you, God says, you are worthy. And he lifts you up out of that mud once more and washes you off and beckons you into his presence, because you are still worthy, regardless to how dirty you feel yourself. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. In 1 Colossians, it says, 1 Colossians 19, it says, for God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. I prefer the word dwell. It kind of has a bit more of a meaning. But when God saw the fate of humanity and desired a relationship with us above all things, he risked everything so that we might come into relationship. The fullness of God dwelled in Christ. God gave everything that he is, all that he is, and placed it in Christ on the cross. That's how worthy God considers us, that he would place the whole of himself into Christ and put it on the cross. And the thing is, the beauty of it is that the treasure that was laid in the field, the treasure that was surrounded by sin, required a price to buy the field that we live in. And that was the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was shed on the world so that the treasure hidden within it could be free and could be claimed and brought back to Christ again. The blood of Christ, like that treasure, it was bought and we were set free. The world was set free. And the treasure within it that God says that we are was delivered from the hands of Satan and of hell. It's all good stuff. But I don't know about you, but all of that sets me free to worship. And really, my key point of the whole message could be summed up now in this one verse of scripture in Psalm 27 and verse 4. And it says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. All of the cross, all of the sacrifice of Christ was about this, because this is the one thing that God desired, that his people would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, and that he would know his presence. Everything flows from that. We look at the spiritual gifts, there's a passage of love slapped in the middle, because everything flows from the fact that we are in the heart of God and that we are considered worthy. It all comes from that. And all the Christ, the blood, the sacrifice, it was all because God wanted what he considered worthy. He wanted to have fellowship with us. That was what it was all about. And that was the treasure that the man discovered. Something that changed his destiny. Engaging with the heart of God and knowing that we are always worthy changes our life beyond all recognition, changes our future, changes our destiny, changes where we go when we pass from this life into the next. Philippians 3:8 reads like this, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. It's not about going home and selling your house and selling your car and selling your favorite toys. That will not gain you the kingdom of God. That will not gain you salvation. Okay? Well, I know we see that the man went home and did that and he gained the treasure in there. But what we're getting at is the fact that Christ needs to be first, needs to be center. Christ is worth more than anything that we can own or earn. We need to be willing to give it up if we are called to. We need to have the value placed on that treasure, that pearl, which is Christ. And everything else, in comparison, is worthless. Now we move on to the second bit. And although it is very similar and it does in the end lead to the same point, there is something I want us to see from that. Now the pearl trader had spent many of years looking for the perfect pearl. You know, he wasn't a poor person. He was somebody of probably good stature in society that had wealth. But he was looking for the ultimate pearl. He was very diligent. And one day, he found the perfect pearl that would have been worth tremendous amount of money. Back then, things like gold and silver and pearls, things like that were the trading points. They were the kind of value in society. And he'd found this perfect pearl. But also back then, you had to pay all sorts of silly money to be able to observe the Sabbath. And the people that changed the money in the temple could charge whatever they liked. And so in this pearl, the man saw the ability to never have to worry about that again. He'd no longer be at the mercy of screaming men. He'd seemingly have no worries. Everything would be within his grasp. He'd be secure. He'd be safe. And so we see in the example of the pearl that not only are we worthy, but when we discover the treasure of who God is, we are also secure. We are also safe. We also no longer need to worry. And understand, I do worry. But we are no longer need to worry. And I have to learn not to worry. We no longer have to need to worry because God supplies all our needs in Christ Jesus. We can have peace because we need not to worry about anything anymore because God cares for us that much. We can have love. We can have hope, we can have joy, because the security of God frees us up to worship Him, because we don't have to worry about anything, because He has all our needs on His heart and on His mind. And He does provide what we need, and He does provide once. But it's not about that. And some people say, does he supply the once? I'll talk to you about that afterwards. But that's not the point. The point is, we no longer have to worry about it and that we are secure because we have a treasure within us that has paid for everything. Don't get me wrong, we do need money to live. But we need to trust God more. There's an interesting scripture in Matthew 6:33. It's also quoted in the Old Testament, somewhere in Deuteronomy. But first seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me, unto you. First seek ye the kingdom of God. Well, what do I mean? First seek communion with God. Above all other things, seek to spend time in the presence of God. Nothing else is important. That's all that's important. To love God and to love the person in front of you. That's all that matters. If we all did that, the world would be full of Christians. That's all we have to do. It's a tall order, I know, but that's the most important thing. Everything flows out of that. Spend time with God. Seek him in his temple. Sit on his knee. Sit in silence. Know that you're loved. Know that you're worthy. Know that he considers you as gold, as a fine pearl. Know that he considered that you are worthy to die for. And sit there because he loves you that much that he just wants to hear your heartbeat. He wants to hear you cry when you're upset. He wants to hear you when you're happy. That's all he wants. So when we've done that, when we're doing that, then everything else flows out of that. Of all of these things will be added unto you. All of the giftings you need, all of the direction you need, all of the supplies that you need, all of the comfort that you need, all of the telling off that we need. All of that will be supplied out of that. This is the primary thing. This is important. Nothing else matters. And the true treasure is the presence of God. It's the salvation that we have received through Christ. It is not this lovely building. It is the presence of God. That is the treasure. That's what you must seek with all of your heart, with all of your energy. Because you may see the gold, but the treasure lies deep below. You see a nice perfect bit of gold on the top of the box, but there's much bigger pieces, pieces that glow even more inside. And you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Just like the pearl owner was always looking for the next pearl, we need to keep on going. There's always more treasure to be discovered in the heart of God. Everything flows from that. Let us pray before we invite Sarah back up. Father God, we just thank you for your word, for your spirit, for your salvation. And we just pray that you take the words that have been spoken this morning and change our hearts, change the nation, change the world. I pray that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I leave you to contemplate that while...